So yesterday, what we spoke about was one of the most important issues when any nation, and especially when Am Yisrael comes back to their land, they have to ask themselves a very important question, and that is, what is our identity? Who are we? What are we about? What do we stand for? And every time you kind of clarify and define your identity, what you're doing is you are excluding other identities. Okay? And that sounds very, very simple, but the task itself is not simple. And we spoke about yesterday how in the time of Ezra, the Jews are coming back to their land. They are now finally, after 70 years, and possibly more even if you count the years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, they are autonomous. What does autonomous mean? They are in charge, they are independent, they control themselves, they govern themselves. Now, by the way, they still had some a connection to Koresh, and they were still bound by Koresh, similar to us being bound by international law, maybe even a little bit more, a lot more actually, but it was very, very similar. And what happened was, because they were autonomous, they have to define, who are we? And you have a group of quasi, not Jewish, people who served Hashem. They also served idols. And they came to the king, Zerubbabel, to the leader of the Jewish people, and they said, we want to join you in building the state. We want to join you in building the Beis HaMikdash. And the answer that Zerubbabel gave was a very decisive one. He said, listen, the Beis HaMikdash, the state of Israel, the country that we are now going to create is lo lachem velanu. Is not for you and us to build it together. This is a Jewish state. It is our state. And it's only us who are part of its building. The discussion that we had afterwards, the diyun, was, is this supposed to be, is that the ideal? And the state of Israel today, we have a lot of non-Jews who have a bigger, very big role in building the state. For example, I know myself, I fought alongside Christians and Druzim, and people that are Druze from Israel, who fought in, were not Jewish, but they fought in the army, just as all the other Jews did, just all the other Israelis did. I had my drivers on Shabbat, the drivers that do the patrols and the Hummers, they are Druzim. There are many non-Jews that really give a lot to the country. The question that we had was, is that something that we idealize? Are we similar to Canada, where we want to have a mosaic of lots of different cultures and religions and people? Or do we idealize the idea of a Jewish state, only a Jewish state, and the more Jewish it is, the better, because we want to create our culture, we want to have our authoritative culture, authentic culture, and nothing else. Yes, Tamar.
It's like
Canada was to Britain. I mean, yeah. Britain does. It does. Yeah. Right. So it's meaning there still is the Governor General signs every law. Yeah. So it was similar to that, what it used to be. They were there on Koresh's watch. And we're going to see how that plays out in the next few parakim. So, yes, Orly. So you're saying the culture we should create and the kind of the flavor of the state should be a Jewish flavor. However, we are still open to other people working with us and building with us, etc. But the question though comes, and this was a very important question that we saw yesterday, which is, if let's say there is a two-state solution between the Palestinians and the Israelis, they make a two-state solution, there's a lot of push that the people themselves, the citizens, will have a right to vote in a referendum about whether or not they should give back land. So there was a question that was asked in a census, and it was quite a big census. They were asked, if there is a referendum and everybody gets to vote whether or not we should give back land or should not give back land, who gets to be asked? is it only the Jews of the country, or it's everybody, including the 1.5 million Arabs? What do you think, Orly? Does everybody get to have the ask, or only the Jews should be asked?
Because, like, I think the Arabs also, there's some fear for, like, I think a lot of them don't want it.
So you're saying they should be allowed to say, they should allow to vote because I think they're going to vote like me.
No, but I'd say that they have reasoning either way.
So you think, okay, if they were totally biased, then no, they shouldn't vote. Because they're not biased and they can go both ways, so therefore they should have a decision as well. Okay, what does anyone else think? Should all citizens of Israel should have the right to decide, or should only the Jews be allowed? Noah?
And there are more
teams
anyway, so,
we're gonna win.
Yeah.
Okay. The way the state of Israel does. No, it's halachic. The status of Jewish. No, law of return is different. That's a very big question. Let's pretend. Anyone who identifies themselves as Jewish, let's say. And especially for a question like this. What? We're not halachically Jewish. Yeah, I think that's fine. As long as they see themselves, it could be that we're saying, as long as they see themselves as part of the Jewish story, they see themselves as part of the Jewish state, they want this to be a Jewish state, so therefore they could be part of the decision of whether or not to give it back. I'm asking you, I didn't say which one.
No, I'm wondering
how we're qualified,
Jews, like, birth or opinionated.
That could be another question. That's going to be, we're going to get to that afterwards. Assimilation and that kind, on all those issues, we'll talk about in a few prakim when we get to them. Yes, yeah.
I mean, like what Noah said, kind of like, yeah, like in theory, it makes sense for that everyone's vote and kind of make everyone else feel like they have a say, but they'll really do it. As much as like we want them to do it, even though most people are doing it,
yeah?
I don't know how
to say that.
There we go. Where there are a lot of people who really believe that we shouldn't be in the
So you think it's gonna be a very close vote.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it's right. Meaning, if you look across the majority of non-Jewish Middle Eastern countries, things aren't going so well. Let's put it that way. Okay, and I'm sure that many Arabs would want to live in a country run like Israel as opposed to a country not run like Syria. Okay, so that's the reality. Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair to let all vote, but that doesn't mean that's necessarily what I would want to happen.
Okay.
I would want Israel to keep its land and gain more land. So I would want to put
the word is conquer
in such a way that I could make sure that Israel would be keeping all its land, but that wouldn't be fair.
Okay, fine. That's okay. Is it morally okay to not be fair? All right. So let's think about that. Okay. So in any case, the answer though that Zerubbabel gave was not as politically correct as Noah's and Tamar's, which is it's fair, it's not fair. In 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, the answer was no.
No.
No, you cannot be part of this country. You are not part of our history.
No.
You're not part of our history. You're not part of our story, of our destiny. This is a Jewish story. I'm sorry. This is who we are. What was the reaction? Does anybody know what was the reaction of the non-Jews in the land at the time when they were rejected by Zerubbabel? What was their reaction? Noah.
Probably negative.
So What was the story? What happened? So let's look in Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Vayihi Am Haaretz. The people, Am Haaretz means the people that lived in land. Merapin Yedei Am Yehuda. They caused them, they were annoying them and weakening them. Umavhilim Otam Livnot. And Mavhilim is, the word Mavhil, they were terrorizing them. They were terrorists in the most literal sense of the word. They were people that would scare them, attack them, whatever they could do to get them to stop building the Beis Hamikdash. So they very, very quickly went from, I want to help you, I want to be part of you, to, you don't want me? Well, you're not going to be able to build anyways. And they started causing a lot of issue. They were terrorizing them, weakening them. What did they do next? The next thing they did was, you think they were powerful enough to stop the Jews from building the Beis Hamikdash physically? Not so much. So what do? Politically, if they're going to not destroy them physically in a war, they might as well try and destroy them politically. And a lot of times people think, what difference does it make what the rest of the world thinks? Who cares? We'll do what we want. Even in the time of Ezra, political issues were real issues.
Car, please come to the office. Thank you.
All right. It's okay. All right. So, what happened? What did they do? V'sochrim alem yuatzim, they hired lawyers. Le'afer atatam ko yemei koresh melech paras ve'al maklut daryavash melech paras. They hired lawyers. They hired politicians, advisors, to try and figure out how they could manipulate the government of Persia. And so what happened was they wrote a letter to the empire of the Persian Empire, which is similar to the UN in the sense that it was the controlling body over all these different countries. They were more powerful, they had more say. But they come and they say, look, there's lots of problems. So let's switch to English because the rest of Ezra is now in Aramaic. And it's very hard. Okay, so Pasuk 7. In the days of Artaxerxes. Artaxasta. Anyone know Xerxes? Anyone see the movie 300? No? Sparta, all those things. Yeah, Xerxes, the Persians. It was the Persians against the... All right. So, Katav Bishlam Midrata. They wrote in Bishlam, Midrata, Tabel, and the rest of the companions, and to Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The writing of the letter was written in the Aramaic character and set forth in the Aramaic tongue. Okay? Why in Aramaic? Because that's what they spoke. All right. Be it known unto the king. This is a very important speech or letter. That the Jews that came up from thee have come upon us to Yerushalayim. They are building the rebellious and bad city. What are they doing, Yerushalayim? This is not peaceful. They're not planning to follow the laws of the international community. What are they doing? They are rebellious. What makes them rebellious? And they finish the walls and are digging out the foundations. Now, how do they know they're rebellious? Because if you go back in time, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bava, was the king of Yerushalayim, what did the Jews do? What did the Jews do before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? What did the Jews do? They covered up the walls, but what did they do when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of them? What did they do? A few times. They rebelled. And so comes these people and say, look, I have proof. Jews are rebellious. Look at my proof. The Jews are rebellious. They're going to use Yerushalayim as a way to rebel against the Persian government. He says in number 13, be it known, this is not the end. Now to the king, that if this city be built, and the walls finished, they will not pay tribute or taxes to you, will damage and endanger the revenue of the kings. Listen, this is all a conspiracy. The Jews are going to build the temple, they're going to build the walls, they're going to get strong enough, and then they're going to rebel against you, and they're going to not pay taxes anymore. Now, because we eat the salt of the palace, we love you, king, not meet for us the king of dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and announced to the king. You should look in your books and find out what they used to do and know that they are going to cause trouble. In Pasuk 24, what happened was the United Nations or the Persian government decided to put a freeze on building in Jerusalem, and they said that nobody's allowed to build in Jerusalem. Now this is something, if you look at the if you look at the next page, it's a article written in the year 800 BC by the Tsarim in Yehuda, written to Xerxes, written to Artaxerxes, calling on the UN Security Council to protect the Palestinians from Israel. Now, you can see that these are speeches. This is the most recent one that I found. But these speeches and these claims, the Palestinians want to go to the UN and say, look what we're doing. We're genociding. We're killing. We're not letting them live a normal life. We are causing. And the main thing, you guys should hear what they say. The main thing that the Palestinians say to the world is, all of the problems in the Middle East, all the uproar, all the wars, everything is because of who? Israel. They are threatening world peace. Yes? An arm? You know what a paraplegic is? No. It's not. I know.
Most of them
I think the main similarity between this speech and the letter that was written in the time of Ezra, or before the time of Ezra, written in Sefer Ezra, is that it's 100% Narishkeit. Okay? It's Narishkeit. What Narishkeit in... for the Sephardim. Shtuyot. It's just ridiculous. Okay, so the question though is, I think it's important to realize that it was a problem in those days as well. What do we do? What's the solution to this problem? When it's a war, I know what to do. We fight, we go to battle, we put on our uniforms, we get our guns, we go and we fight against them. But in terms of a war, Israel's very, very good at the wars. And I want you just to see that the problems that are happening today, in terms of everybody in the UN always bashing Israel, and people against Israel, and people saying that Israel's evil, and that Israel's against world peace, and all these different things, this is not news. It's not new. This is exactly the same reaction that the people at the time of Ezra had. And this is, again, because we are now coming and defining ourselves as a nation. Once we define ourselves as a nation, there are people that don't want us to be that nation. They want to take our land. It's a power struggle. And therefore, this power struggle back then happened, and it's happening again today. What do we do, though? What are certain solutions? Yes, Mrs. Sonnenberg.
I'm not a Mrs. I won't be a Mrs. Sonnenberg when I become a Mrs.
Okay. It's possible. Right.
I wasn't thinking of solutions. I was thinking of...
It's true. But they express their hatred to us when we do have our own country in a very unique way.
We're
to legitimize us. Exactly. So what do you girls think? I want to hear what you think. What do we do with this? Constantly in campuses, in the UN, in different countries, Israel is being attacked, and it does have a huge hashpah, a huge influence on the way Israel acts. As you can see in the time of Ezra, they went to the Persians and said, oh, they're causing rebellions, they're causing trouble. The Persian says, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash for 12 years. Same thing here, they go, you're causing issues with the settlements, we can't build in Judea and Samaria for the past 4 years, pretty much. It's been pretty bad, yeah. I can't hear. So you think we can't really do much about it? We haven't seen it yet inside the psukim, but I want to ask you guys like this, and this is a very big question for today's time in terms of policy. The Persian government says you can't build the Beit HaMikdash because these people said that you're causing issues and your settlements and your homes and your Beit HaMikdash is going against peace. Do we say, oh no, the Persian said we can't build, I guess we can't build? Or do we say, I don't care what the Persians say, it's my country? Do we say today, I don't care what the United States says. They say don't build in Judea and Samaria. Too bad.
You care.
It's our country. Don't tell us what to do.
It's our country, but we still acknowledge their opinion.
But do we have to? Do we listen to them?
No.
Should we listen to them?
No. Yes. Well, then we're
going to
be isolated from
the country. So what? Bayashalanu. Like whatever.
So what?
Why do I care what everyone thinks about me? It could be, and it could be not. You never know. We should stand up for ourselves. So let's take two examples, okay? Has America ever put sanctions on Israel? There have been times when Israel, when America refused to sell weapons to Israel and things like that. In the 1980s, what? I can't hear. Shh, girls. Yeah. And that happened before many times. And then late 1970s, Israel wanted to annex the Golan Heights. Right now the Golan Heights is annexed. And Menachem Begin was the prime minister at the time, and the America said literally, if you annex the Golan Heights, we will put an embargo on you. Does anyone know what an embargo is?
Yes.
No.
It does have to do that.
What's an embargo? Not allowing anyone to trade with you. We will not trade with you, and then Israel will economically collapse. Listen to what he said, Orly. What did he say? What did Menachem Begin say? Menachem Begin got up and said, I don't care. You guys learned about this? What did Menachem Begin say?
Oh, we just learned about that he was in charge of
All right, so that was, this is about 30 years. That was only when he became prime minister.
Yeah.
All right? You're not there yet. Soon. So Menachem Begin comes and stood up and said, I don't care if I have to go and beg to every Jewish mother in Israel that all she'll eat is bread and butter. But what? She will do it. But we will do what's right for us, our community, and right what's for our nation. And even if we have to suffer and not eat anything but bread and butter, we're going to do it. This is what Menachem Begin said. What happened? What happened? Does anyone know what happened in the end? What? So what happened, though? What happened? They annexed the Golan Heights. And what happened with the embargo? No, they just didn't do it.
It never happened.
Right? But you never know. So the question is, as a policy, should we be people that stand on our own and say, this is our country, you can't tell us what to do? Or should we say, oh no, the Persians told us not to build the Beis HaMikdash, let's go and not build the Beis HaMikdash. What do you guys think? It might be. But you could... Well, by the way, what did they do? No, they didn't. They said, oh no, and they politically tried to finagle their way in. They did it politically. I'm asking whether or not we should confront. At different times throughout Israeli history, we've confronted, at different times not. Yeah, Noah.
I personally think that they should do what the UN tells them, because at the end of the day, there will be a time when we can do it freely, but for now, we're under their knife in a way. Like any wrong person, they'll just say, we should just stop, we should take away their country. So.
No.
But
and the UN has recently said that we should dismantle all the settlements and all the places that we've built in East Jerusalem based on the 67 borders. Should we do that? We should kick 350,000 people out of their homes and move them into Israel because the UN said so.
No, he thought that at the time he thought it was good that they were giving Gaza to the Arabs, and now he's that it's wrong. But at that time when we gave them Gaza, I guess we were in a pretty
pretty good spot down again, but it's all, like, in the way that it works, because I remember also, like, there was a thing with Vader McDuff and Jamie, where there were these two people, one of them didn't invite him to the party, and there was, like, this whole thing, and then, like, told the Romans, and the Roman had to gave him, like, a cow that wasn't worth
it,
or something, and then they, Rome, and then they said, like, we can't use the cow, and then, you know, the whole thing. But so they said, and then they looked at it later and they said, like, there are two opinions. One of them says that they should have used the cow because it was at, like, a place of cloak. So even if it's not right morally in our book, like,
I don't know morally, but it could be the U. I think that there, it's not so simple because the UN doesn't really care whether or not we survive or not. Do they? You know, the UN in terms of votes, the UN is made up of more non dictator countries, non democratic countries, non proletarian. That's what you're gonna say. All right, shh. Listen, guys. I want to hear what Tamima Tova said. So we shouldn't listen to them. They won't care. Do you think we should stand more up for ourselves? And okay, intelligently, but at the end of the day, we got to do what we got to do. Yeah, Noah.
But at the end of the day, even if we don't agree with the leader, we still have to do it. If they feel like I have a really bad principal or a really bad teacher, and they're like, okay, you have like 20 exams. Like, I can go to Mrs. Weinberg and say, like, this isn't fair. But at the end of the day, like, they still, like, I'm still going to have that thing. Like, it's not going to make a difference, like, who I can make or like, stand up, because they're always going to be, like, higher up.
What do you mean higher up?
Like,
what are they going to do?
They could kill,
They could what?
Fail. I don't know how the UN works, but I...
And if they want to fight with us, maybe we should fight.
But there's always the work, because the UN is in charge. So they
what? Okay. Depends what you want. What Tamima Tova is saying is, if we want to build the country and we want to make sure the country is strong, it could be that if and I think maybe it's a little bit different. What Tamima Tova says is, well, I think Mrs. Weinberg has your best interest in insight. You just disagree what your best interests are. You think your best interests are to not do the exam, and she thinks it is to do the exam. But in the UN, they don't necessarily have Israel's best interest in mind. They don't care whether or not we become destroyed. So I think there's a difference, a big difference between America and the UN. The UN openly thinks that Zionism is racism, openly says that Israel should be destroyed. Openly, like, it's not...
At the same time, you've got to pick your battles.
What? Because we believe that only the Jews should be in Israel. That's it. That's racist. Yeah. Okay. But I want you guys, we're going to stop here. I want you to think about these things, and I want you to keep them in mind as the state of Israel is dealing with these issues all the time, and how they go back in history and started from the time of Ezra HaSofer.